What is up, Rams Nation, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at Cam DeSilva and at the Rams Wire. And as always, all our posts are online at theramswire.usatoday.com. So we've got a lot to catch up on since last time we spoke. The Rams have made a number of moves. We were anxiously awaiting the news for Ndamukong Suh's decision and where he was going to sign and what he was going to do. Finally, obviously, we have some good news on that front with him signing with the Rams on Monday. Los Angeles brought in linebacker Ramic Wilson. They've been floated in Odell Beckham Jr. conversations and trade rumors. So pretty much anything big happening in the NFL is being linked to the Rams right now because they are becoming the team to beat in the NFL, especially the NFC. And it's looking like the path to the NFC West crown could go through Los Angeles with the Rams once again. So we're going to get right into things and talk about this huge Sue news. He obviously signed with the Rams on Monday. It's reportedly for 1 year and $14 million. That's a hefty amount of money for a player for one season. But all things considered, given the player that he is, the impact that he's had in the past and how much money he was making before with the Dolphins, his past contract was essentially a 3 year, $60 million deal. So he was making just about $20 million per year. So if you look at it that way, the Rams got, I wouldn't say a bargain, but for one season, a 1 year rental for a player like that, it's a great move because it does give them another dominant force up front next to Aaron Donald. It gives Wade Phillips another chess piece to work with on the defensive line, giving him Sue with Brockers and Donald. So really, it's a huge move, and the Rams beat out teams like the Titans, the Saints, the Jets, the Raiders. The last two, the Jets and the Raiders, had interest. The Jets made an offer. They supposedly had the biggest one on the table, but ultimately it came down to the Rams, Titans, and Saints. The Saints obviously offered him a 4-3 defense, which he's played in his entire career, whereas the Titans and Rams are a 3-4 front. The Rams have a little bit more of those one-gap principles where it's almost like a 4-3 scheme where you have you sometimes do have four defensive linemen. So there are principles from that 4-3 scheme that he's used to playing, which obviously is a good fit for him. And then you add in the fact that he has Donald next to him, and it just opens up things so much more for the Rams inside, on the edge, at linebacker. So really, it's a huge move that has a big ripple effect throughout the roster. So like I said, it is a one-year, $14 million deal. Surprisingly, Sean McVay said on Tuesday at the owners' meetings that Sue is going to play nose tackle to start. He said in their base defense, he's going to be that shade nose tackle lining up over the center. So he's going to really be the anchor to the defensive line, which is a little bit surprising, to be honest. When the rumors were floated that the Rams would have interest in him and that they'd be a fit for Sue, I saw him more as a five technique, a three technique, playing defensive end, defensive tackle, similar to the way that Aaron Donald does. But given their scheme, there's not room for two, three techniques. So it was either nose tackle or five technique because they weren't going to broach the chance to move Donald around after he just won Defensive Player of the Year playing the position that he did. So Sue is going to take over the nose tackle position. The Rams experimented with guys like Tanzel Smart, Tyron Walker, Ethan Westbrook's rotated in a little bit last season. So it's a little bit surprising to see them go that route and plug him into the middle between Donald and Brockers, but there's no doubt he can do it. Even though he hasn't played that position before, he does have the athleticism. He's not the biggest guy. He's not one of those wide-bodied nose tackles that you see in the likes of Vince Wilfork or Haloti Ngata. He's more of an athletic cut defensive tackle who's going to get upfield and cause disruptions in the backfield rather than just eating up blocks and bring down ball carriers. So that's great. That's great on that front as far as him kind of having a position, but Sean McVay didn't he didn't shut down the opportunity or the possibility of moving him around to different positions on the defensive line. He said that he could line up over the guard. He could kind of play that three technique similar to the way that Donald does on those sub packages. And he explained the defense as having several 4-3 principles where it's going to be similar to that one gap scheme where guys are assigned one hole on the line, and that's their responsibility. They do that when they do have four down linemen, which you see sometimes. You saw that last year a little bit with guys like Robert Quinn and Connor Barwin. So they're going to move him around. Wade Phillips, he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the league, so there's no doubt he's going to find Sue's best fit and utilize him the best way that he can, and it'll go from there. The Rams obviously don't have an extended period of time to really figure that out as far as where Sue fits best on their defense, given that it is only a 1-year deal. But they have all offseason. They got this deal out of the way. He's going to have all of mini camp and training camp and all the offseason activities, OTAs, to kind of experiment with Sue and find out what his best position is on the defensive line. It sounds like they're going to put him at nose tackle first and see how he does there, see how he holds up in run defense, and then kind of go from there. It wouldn't be at all surprising to see him line up where Brockers does as the five technique. He's a little bit quicker and more explosive than Brockers is, and he doesn't have the mass that number 90 does. But there's no doubt he can hang on the outside as a 3-4 defensive end, especially with if the Rams do add a nice defensive or outside linebacker, excuse me, to complement him on the edge. He'll have plenty more one-on-one matchups in the Rams defense than he did in Miami. So that's obviously a good sign, and I'm sure that helped lure him to Los Angeles. So that's kind of where we stand with the Sue contract and signing, and we're obviously going to get more on when it comes to how the Rams are going to utilize him and how the salary cap is going to work with Donald now on the roster, but that's kind of a little starting point as far as Sue goes. One question that people probably do have is how does this affect Aaron Donald's contract situation? And really, it's hard to tell right now because we don't have the exact financials of Sue's deal. We know that it's obviously a 1-year deal worth $14 million, but we don't know if that's fully guaranteed, if there's $10 million guaranteed with other incentives. So we're not really sure how that deal is going to work. I would assume that at least 10 to 14 million of that is guaranteed. So if that's the case, the Rams right now have about $28 million in cap space. I think that's before accounting for Nickell Robey-Coleman's new contract. But so you put them in the range of $23 to $28 million before the Sue signing. So once you add that in, it drops them down to about $10 to $14 million. Obviously, Donald right now is counting about $7 million, I think, against the cap, which makes him severely underpaid and one of the biggest bargains in the NFL. Obviously, his contract doesn't expire until next year, but the Rams would prefer to get a new deal done for him as soon as possible, I would think. That's not something that they want to play around with or risk losing him in free agency. So look for them to kind of try to get him under contract this offseason. The only problem is it might be difficult with as little cap space as they have. Once you account for the $3 million-ish dollars that you're going to have to pay your rookies in the upcoming draft class, you're kind of left with not much money there. They're not going to go out and sign any other big name free agents, I don't think. Navarro Bowman, someone who I would like to see them go after. But don't expect them to be really all that aggressive in the remaining days in free agency and leading up to the draft. But it's going to be difficult to sign Donald to a huge extension, paying him $20 million per year, with Sue under contract now, because it does That's a lot of money to sink into the defensive line in one season, even as good as both of them are. So it maybe you see the Rams do a 5-year deal and kind of backload the contract for Donald, where he's going to make most of his money later in the deal, possibly a smaller cap hit this offseason, so that they can comfortably fit Sue and him under the cap. So there's a couple different ways they can go. Les Snead said at the combine that the Rams have already ironed out a timetable and accounted for Donald's contract in the cap. So it's going to be difficult to get him under the salary cap, but the Rams sound confident that they're going to be able to make it work and that they've already accounted for it. One thing you do have to consider is the fact that they have to pay Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Marcus Peters, LaMarcus Joyner, all in addition to Donald. They have a lot of young talent, which is great, but it does make it difficult to sign someone like Donald to a long-term extension this offseason. So it's just something worth keeping an eye on to kind of see which direction they go. I don't, maybe they'll sign Joyner to a contract extension soon and kind of lower his cap hit from the $11 million that the franchise tag carries. That'll open up a little bit of space. Maybe they move on from someone like Mark Barron. If you make him a post June 1st cut, then you free up $9 million. If it's beforehand, it's $7 million. So there are a couple different ways the Rams can go to open up space. But obviously, the Sue contract does complicate things a little bit, especially for Aaron Donald. Moving on to the next big topic of discussion that everyone is seemingly talking about this week is the possibility of trading Odell Beckham Jr. That's something that the Giants have reportedly considered. There was a report from the New York Daily News on Monday that the Giants and Rams have already discussed a deal, that the Rams reached out to New York and Dave Gettleman to kind of gauge what it's going to take to get him to Los Angeles and what it's going to take for the Giants to ultimately move him. It's kind of hard to imagine New York trading one of the best receivers in the NFL after just 4 seasons. But he is coming off of a significant ankle injury. He did have some off the field questions, whether it was a boat trip. The video that surfaced of him in a room with supposedly it looked like cocaine or some sort of drugs. So it's obviously not a great situation there. He's not doing himself any favors as far as being welcomed by the new front office and Dave Gettleman and head coach Pat Shurmur. So, and then there's the obvious monkey or gorilla in the room where he's not going to step on the field until he has a new contract. So that came out on Monday. He reportedly won't play. He won't step foot on the field for training camp or any sort of practice until he gets a new deal. But how easy is that to make happen? The Rams don't have the cap space to sign him to a long-term extension. The Giants do, but they seem like they're a little bit hesitant to make that happen, and understandably so. Signing him to a contract that's worth $20 million a year, he deserves every penny of that. But when you have so many off-field concerns and tantrums on the field, and there are just some question marks with his character and his maturity, and it might not be exactly someone that the team feels comfortable committing to long-term with such a huge contract. That begs the question of what is it going to take for the Rams to possibly land him in a trade? Some have speculated that the Browns could offer just the fourth overall pick and land him that way. Others suggest it's going to take multiple first rounders. So we don't really know exactly what the Giants are looking for, if they are even going to trade him. But one would imagine that it would take at least 2 first rounders to land someone like Beckham, especially if it's the Rams who are going to trade those picks. Obviously, the 23rd overall selection isn't going to be enough to land him, just because of the talent that he is and how good that Beckham is when healthy and when he's motivated and focused on the field. But there's a huge difference, obviously, between the 23rd and 4th pick. So technically the Browns could possibly land him for one draft selection, whereas the Rams would need to trade probably the 23rd and next year's first rounder. That's a big price to pay for someone who is not happy with his contract, someone who has some off the field concerns and character issues. The Rams did commit a second rounder and EJ Gaines to the Bills for Sammy Watkins, but Watkins didn't have any of the character concerns. He was someone who, even though he was in the final year of his contract, he wasn't going to demand anything from the Rams to make them feel like they couldn't get a deal done with him. With Beckham really demanding a long-term extension before he even takes the field, it's a little bit difficult to see how the Rams could make that work. The only way that I could see it happening is if they somehow in the negotiations with the Giants, they convince Beckham to play out the final year of his rookie deal, which is the fifth year option, obviously, making that somewhere in the neighborhood of $9 million. If they can convince him to play out that deal for the Rams, go after a Super Bowl title in his first year in LA, similar to the way that Ndamukong Suh did, then it's something that could possibly happen. The Rams are obviously motivated. Sean McVay didn't shoot down the rumors when he was asked about it on Tuesday. He even kind of incited it and brought it up himself. He started the conversation by saying, "What do you guys want to talk about, Sue or the Odell Beckham Jr. rumors?" He said that they're not afraid to explore any trade possibility out there, and he could have easily shot down the rumors that they were exploring that and said, "No, we're not looking to acquire a player like Beckham." But instead, he complimented him, said how great of a player he is, said how he can pretty much do everything on the field as a receiver. So all of those compliments obviously make it seem like the Rams are interested, and they very well might be. It's just going to be difficult to fit him under the cap, come up with enough draft assets to make a deal work. I don't know if you really want to give up two first rounders for a player who's not happy with his contract and somehow and sometimes has some maturity issues on the field and off of it. But that's the Rams have been aggressive. They've traded for Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, gone after Ndamukong Suh. So those are all players with some personality traits that are sometimes not exactly ideal when it comes to locker room chemistry and making everyone happy. But like Sean McVay said, there's not a single trade out there that they won't explore. So it's very possible that the Rams did call the Giants about it and find out kind of what they want for him. There's also the issue of Odell Beckham being kind of a diva receiver who always wants the ball. Sean McVay's offense, like we saw last year, isn't predicated on getting one player the ball as much as possible. That's why Sammy Watkins was only targeted 70 times and had 39 catches. It's not based around one standout receiver. You saw that in Washington. You saw that with the Rams last season. Sean McVay was asked on Tuesday about how, if hypothetically the Rams did acquire Beckham, how they would be able to get him the ball enough and spread the ball around on offense. And he kind of said that they have the offense to make that work, but is that something that would keep Beckham happy? I find that hard to believe because he is someone who wants the ball as much as possible and wants to be the guy who's catching touchdowns and finding himself on SportsCenter with highlight reel grabs. So it's not an ideal fit as far as contract and trade compensation and fit in the offense. As far when it comes to getting the ball as much as he probably wants it. But obviously he's a player who can fit into any offense and make any team better because he is that kind of athlete. In no way am I suggesting that Beckham is not a spectacular player because he is. I'm simply stating that he's someone who wants the ball a lot, and in order to keep him focused, he probably needs the ball a lot. So the Rams aren't, I wouldn't say they're the best fit for him as aggressive as they've been and as many trades as they've made. But plugging him into that offense with Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, it'd be something that a lot of teams would be really looking at and wishing they had on offense. And then you look on the other side of the ball with their defense and Sue and Donald and Brockers, and really they'd probably become the Super Bowl favorites. That locker room would be difficult to navigate for McVay and Wade Phillips and the entire coaching staff, but Beckham is a difference maker, and he's someone who you plug him into any team and he's going to make them better significantly. So that's just something to kind of watch in the next day or weeks leading up to the draft. Adam Schefter said today on ESPN that he wouldn't be surprised if the Giants did deal Beckham on draft night or beforehand. The Rams, being as aggressive as they've been this offseason, would have to be the favorites. Vegas released odds from bookmaker.eu on Beckham's next team in 2018, and the Rams were right behind the Giants as having the best odds for any other team to land Beckham. So obviously everyone's looking at Los Angeles when it comes to any player who becomes free as a free agent or is floated in trade rumors. So that's just something to watch and keep an eye on a little bit as we head into the draft and roll through the off season. Going back to another acquisition that the Rams made in the past week or so, Ronnie Wilson from the Chiefs. He was a free agent. Kansas City let him go. They could have offered him a tender, but they opted not to and let him hit the open market. He's a good depth linebacker. He's not going to be your top starter inside. While he could compete next to Mark Barron and kind of carve out a role in that scenario, I just don't really see the Rams relying heavily on him next season. He's good against the run, not great, which is obviously somewhere that the Rams need to improve drastically after they were, I think, 28th against the run last season. So he does bring some help there, but really, this is just kind of an exploration signing for the Rams, who have Corey Littleton, Mark Barron, and now Wilson competing inside for those two starting jobs. Last season, he played 8 games for the Chiefs. He didn't have many stats in that regard, didn't have a huge impact, but in 2016, he had his best season. He had 76 tackles, a handful of passes batted down. I think he forced a fumble. So he had a good season in 2016 and then kind of just fell out of favor with the Chiefs. He did carve out a starting role, but Derek Johnson was back from injury and kind of took over that role again inside. But he still has good traits. He has good speed, decent size, not the biggest thumper linebacker that you really want to see in the Rams defense in the middle. But like I said, he's a nice depth piece. He's gonna kind of give Wade Phillips more options, as we've seen with the Broncos in the past, and really throughout Wade Phillips' career with Houston. He doesn't need that dominant inside linebacker, which a lot of people have been pointing out that they probably shouldn't draft an inside linebacker with their first pick in the upcoming draft. Adding a guy like Ronnie Wilson next to Mark Barron, who could possibly be cut, it's a good first step, but it's not going to change anything really that they do in the draft. As far as another free agent, the Rams are reportedly interested in Junior Gallette. He played for the Redskins and Saints. He made his Redskins debut this past season. He missed all of 2015 and 16 with Achilles injuries. Really, it was an unfortunate situation for him. He had just signed a big contract, I think, in 2015 or 2014, with the Saints, and then they released him in 2015. Signed another deal with Washington, but really just had trouble getting on the field for the Redskins. He's someone who he lines up at outside linebacker, obviously as an edge rusher. He's going to get after the quarterback. And he had in 2014, before the injury, he had 10 sacks. In 2013, he had 12. So that's 22 sacks in 2 seasons, which is a really solid number for an edge rusher. And then obviously the Achilles injuries hit in 2015 and 16, and it really kind of derailed his career. This past season, he bounced back a little bit, had a decent year with Washington. I think he had a handful of sacks. Yeah, he had 3 sacks and 20 tackles for the Redskins this past season. He was more of a role player. He didn't start for them. But he is someone who has been linked to the Rams just because of their need at outside linebacker after trading Robert Quinn and possibly letting Connor Barwin go. So he's someone who the Rams fans should keep an eye on moving forward and kind of see where that goes. And he's someone who they could bring in as a nice veteran addition, similar to the way that they did with Connor Barwin last season. Another topic of discussion that kind of hit over the course of late last week and into the weekend was Trumaine Johnson's comments on signing with the Jets. It ruffled a little bit of feathers with Rams fans and kind of raised some eyebrows. Obviously, he signed with the Jets. It was a $72.5 million deal, which pays him just about almost $15 million per season. But he said that he signed with the Jets to have a chance at winning. And he said he wants to win a championship and that he'd play the game for free. Obviously, he wouldn't play the game for free because if he did, he would be with the Rams, who are becoming Super Bowl favorites, and not with the Jets, who are probably the worst team in the NFL. Depending on who they get at quarterback, they currently have the worst Super Bowl odds in the league. So Vegas obviously does not like their chances to go very far, even after signing someone like Johnson. So it was just a little bit kind of funny to see him explain why he signed with the Jets, and the fact that he said he would play the game for free, whether he would or wouldn't, it's besides the point. But if he really wanted to chase a championship and win a ring, he most likely would have stuck around with the Rams because it's a scheme that he's familiar with. They wanted him back even after trading for Marcus Peters initially. And then after acquiring Talib, it was kind of there's the door and you can see yourself out. But the Rams would have liked to keep Johnson, and he fit well with what Wade Phillips likes. He likes big physical cornerbacks who are willing to tackle, which Johnson was. But whether the Rams offered him a cheaper contract than the Jets or whether they offered him a deal at all, it's kind of unknown. But it's pretty clear that he was chasing the money and he wanted to sign the biggest contract possible. And good for him. Hats off to him for landing that big deal. Even though he's never made a Pro Bowl, he's still one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL. He probably doesn't get the respect that he deserves. And part of that came with playing in St. Louis for most of his career. But good for him for getting his money. Just don't try and lie about it and say that you would play this game for free and you're just chasing a title, because nobody who signs with the Jets is chasing a title. They're not a team to beat in the NFC, in the AFC East. They're not a team to beat anywhere. So that was just a little bit of surprise to see him come out and talk that way about New York and really feeling confident about their chances. Lastly, I'm gonna float a name out there who I could see the Rams. Or not that I could see the Rams going after him, but he's someone who I think the Rams should consider, and that's Cameron Meredith from the Bears. He suffered a pretty gruesome and nasty knee injury in the preseason last year. It caused him to miss all of 2017 after he had a breakout season in 2016. That year, he had 66 catches, 888 yards, and 4 touchdowns, and really emerged as the Bears' best receiver on a team that was pretty bad. Kevin White was nowhere to be found, and really, they just didn't have any offensive weapons or firepower, and Meredith filled that role nicely. But so he's a restricted free agent for the Bears right now. That means that any team can negotiate with him. They can make him an offer, but because the Bears placed an original round tender on him, there's not going to be any draft compensation coming their way if any team does sign him to an offer sheet that the Bears don't want to match. So that being said, the Rams could offer him, say, $7-8 million per year for 3 years, and if the Bears don't match that, then the Rams would get him for that contract, and they wouldn't have to give up any draft picks. That's a little bit different than someone like Shaquille Barrett from the Broncos, who has a second round tender on him. So if the Rams signed him and the Broncos didn't match, then it would be a second rounder going back to Denver. But with Meredith not having any compensation required, he's a nice receiver who is technically available. Although he's coming off of a pretty nasty knee injury, it was his ACL, and I think he had some other MCL damage there. He's someone with a good amount of potential. He's still young, at only 25 years old, so plenty of there. He has plenty of a good future ahead of him with very little wear and tear, even though he has the injury. So that's someone who, if the Rams are looking to upgrade at wide receiver, say they don't land Odell Beckham Jr., that's someone who could be a cheap pickup because they don't have to spend a draft pick to get him. He's a bigger receiver with good enough speed to win downfield and can kind of take over that Sammy Watkins role. So that's a name that I would like to see the Rams kind of go after and possibly make an offer, just because you don't have to give up any draft picks. Whether they will or not, who knows? I think Meredith's taken three visits with other teams already, but none of them have been the Rams, and so that's just someone that I would like to see them take a flyer on and possibly land. So that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back next week, hopefully. Whether that's with some bigger news, like an Odell Beckham Jr. trade, remains to be seen. But undoubtedly, with the Rams this offseason, you never know what you're going to get. And there's always some sort of excitement. So follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire. You can catch all of our content, all of our analysis and posts at theramswire.usatoday.com. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. We'll talk to you guys next week.